You are now listening to FNB Radio.
Welcome to FNB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I am your host. I would like to welcome you to 2019. It's a new year. I don't like when people say it's a new you because it's really not. It's just the same old you. Hopefully you've got some ideas about how you're going to try to be a new you, but then you'll just end up being the same you with a few modifications. I truly believe that because, listen, people don't realize this, but you don't change who you are just midway through your life. Maybe you can make, you know, like I said, changes. And I support that. I'm always, and you are too, always evolving, right? Nobody just stays exactly the same as they were the day they were born, because that would be weird. I mean, hopefully you're learning and growing and, you know, being an evolving person. Hopefully you learn stuff from your experiences and people that you meet and the people that you talk to and the people that you build your life around. But expecting, you know, the clock to strike midnight and you're going to be a whole new you in a whole new year is just highly unlikely. In my time on this earth, I've realized that people tend to kind of be who they are. They start out sort of who they are, and then they just kind of keep on that path until they become, you know, an older version of who they are. And I mean that in a good way. I don't mean that in a hopeless way. I mean that in like the way that I can say when I see my children or any child, really, I just am up close with my children all the time. They kind of come out how they're going to be. And I think that's for the best, because the human sort of desire to be is very strong. And ideally, they're able to be who they are. Ideally, you're so happy with yourself that you don't want to be a whole new you in 2019. I mean, there's definitely things I wish I did better, and I'm working on that, you know? One of them being my health. I want to be physically more in shape. I think that's the number one thing. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, I just, gross. I just ate so much cream cheese over the holidays. And, you know, me personally, I'm post-baby, so that is that's a real thing that I'm like, ooh, it's okay. You brought a life into this world. It's fine. But it's not easy to just go from being like cute. You can say even when you're pregnant, you're big, you know, but you're cute. People are like, oh, I'm pregnant. After, it's like, oh, you're like a shell of a, you're like a deflated shell of a, I don't know, like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloon. But like deflated, they're not cute anymore. They're just kind of oddly shapen, a little weird. So I'm being gentle with myself in that regard. But it's not even about how you look or how I look. For me, it's the energy level. I wish I had more of that because now I have a lot more to do than I did before. And even before, I had a lot to do. So I'm just I'm trying to be healthier. That's my number one, and it's probably a lot of your number one things. And that's a good thing because it's one of the easiest things to sort of rein back in if you've let it slip. But again, that's not a whole new you. That's just you being healthier. You're still you. And I like me. And I want to keep being me. I just want to be a little healthier. I want to be better at managing my time. It just feels so precious now. It feels so precious all the time. But I want to do better at that. So that's on my list of things to do. But that list is always really long. So it's, you know, whatever. If I can just be a little healthier, if I can move a little more, maybe even outside a little more, I'd feel good about that. And being thoughtful. I hope you guys had a beautiful new year. I want to thank you personally for listening to the show, for supporting the show, So many things happened in 2018 that sucked. So many things that happened in 2018 that were great. But one of the best parts for me was seeing if I could do this show on my own. And it was like one of the suck parts. It was one of the things that was the hardest because I was like, I don't really think I can. Or I thought maybe it would just be too different. Or being alone would be weird and boring. And sometimes it is. But for the most part, I'm really enjoying this new phase of the show. And I'm so, so thankful that you guys are too. Thank you for listening. If you've listened since day one, holy shit, you're amazing. If you just started listening, if this is your first episode, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Go back and listen to the old ones. And if you've been listening intermittently, off and on, for any length of time, if you've ever listened to a show at all, you're the best. Thank you. It's so cool to be taking the show to this level and doing what we're doing, and I'm ready for 2019. We're going to start it off with a bang. My two guests today are incredible artists that are based here in Charleston. They have a show that's opening January 18th in Miller Studios on East Bay Street here in Charleston. If you're in town, you should check it out. We're going to get way more in-depth into that when we bring them on in just a minute. But it's something that I think perfectly marries food and art. Those things cross paths. They're so intertwined in general that it's hard to even separate them sometimes. But they really bring it together in a way that I think is just beautiful. It's fun. It's so specific to Charleston that it really just captures the vibe of this city in a visual way while highlighting restaurants and food. It's all my favorite things, guys, because guess what? I'm fucking classy. I like art and food, and I like food art. And that's what they did. Rachel Nerney, Julia Deckman, they're going to be here in the studio any minute, and I can't wait to talk to them about the show that they have opening. It's called The Two Top. It's a duet in food art. It's awesome. I'm really, really stoked. If you want to catch me, I will be at the Hospitality Preview, which they so geniusly did a show that's going to open prior to the one on Friday, which is the grand opening. Is that how you say that? But it's on Tuesday, January 15th from 4 to 6, so that hospitality people can go. Because guess what? Nobody in the restaurant industry can go to a party on a Friday night. It's just not happening. Doesn't make any sense. So they know that because they're savvy. And they're doing a little preview show on the 15th. So I'll be there. And I'll be checking out all of the amazing artwork and hanging out with them for a bit. You should come too. It really is really, really a cool show that I've been kind of privileged to see happening for the past few months. I've been in the loop. People loop me in every now and then. But yeah, it was what a year, you know. Glad it's over. Sad it's gone. All that same shit that I feel every single New Year's, and I hope whatever it is you're working on, you get there. I think the biggest way to do that is to just keep doing what you're doing. and that sounds like such a bullshit thing to say, like, yeah, just keep on keeping on. But sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. I can't tell you how many things that I've just like let go to the wayside or been like, I gave up on that. I got bored with that. And that's not how you achieve great heights. I'm not speaking from personal experience, like I've achieved great heights. I'm not talking to you from those great heights. I'm not up here. I'm just saying you're never going to get up there, I think, unless you put one foot in front of the other and set out to do what it is you want to do. And that can be anything. You could be already doing it, but maybe you want to do it better. Or maybe you want to change your direction. And that's what you meant when you said you wanted to do, you know, a new year, a new you. Maybe you want to do something totally different. I support that. And thank you, yeah, for supporting me. Support art. And in the meantime, listen to this ad that supports me supporting you, supporting what, doing whatever you want to do. See how that works? A little word from our sponsors. This episode of F&B Radio is brought to you by Lola. L-O-L-A, Lola. Do you guys know I was going to do that? You knew. You knew I was going to give the Kinks reference. Lola, I'm super excited about this sponsor. I might be the most excited about this sponsor that I've been about any of the sponsors thus far, because it really hits home, and not because it's just for women, but also that's not my favorite part about it. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. This is something that I was like, hell yes. Can I please get sponsored by someone like Lola? Number one, it's an all-female-founded company. It's about time that someone who actually uses these products is making these products with the people who use them in mind. Because there's a lot of things that don't make sense if you really think about them when it comes to feminine hygiene. Number one, it's 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. I was laughing about this because as I think about that whole concept, I'm like, oh, that's good. Because shouldn't that be what it is? And then I started doing some research. No, that's not what it is, because the FDA doesn't require you to put that shit on the labels of feminine products. Shocker. So I'm spending all this money buying organic food and organic health products and organic makeup and trying to make sure that there's no BPAs in my kid's baby bottle. And all this stuff that I think and I feel strongly about, you know, and reducing my carbon footprint and all of that. Yet, every time I have my period, I'm just like, oh, I'll just stick this up there. Who knows what's on it? There's so many chemicals. There's so many weird dyes and fragrances and things that you don't want to literally put inside your body. And if I wouldn't eat things like that and I don't want to use things like that on my skin, why would I put them in my body? So Lola doesn't have any of that. Number two, it's a subscription service. And it's not like any other subscription service. It's one of the thoughtful subscription services because you can cancel at any time, but they don't like catch you by surprise and they're like, oh, gotcha. You didn't unsubscribe, so you still subscribed, so you still pay. If you want to cancel and it's like, I don't know, 2 days before, they send you a courtesy email like, hey, we're about to charge you. Is that cool? Or did you want to put some chemicals in your body another way? And if you want to cancel because you don't like it or you want to go back to doing whatever you want to do, then you can cancel before they charge you. Because I can't tell you how many times you get the bag over the head like, oh, fuck, damn it, Apple. I don't need that extra megabyte of storage anymore because I got a bigger iPhone. But they're still charging me. Do you know they're still charging me like 3 years later? I just can't seem to cancel that subscription to extra cloud space, even though I don't need it. It's really weird, but it happens. And it's how a lot of companies make money, even when you don't want to use their service anymore. Lola doesn't do that, which is really, I'm just going to say it, thoughtful, like everything else that they've got going on. And not only that, you can make your own box. You can combine it any way you want. So if you're like, oh, I want some tampons, some pads, some cleansing wipes, or I want just straight up tampons, you can put whatever you want in there and they ship it right to your door. The packaging is so chic. It looks like a woman made it. It doesn't look like a weird little piece of candy. It's not like they're trying to disguise it. I'm a grown woman. I don't mind putting a tampon in my purse, but I don't want to accidentally think it's a chapstick. I don't want it to be that cute. It looks like what it is. It's beautifully packaged, super chic. It gets delivered to your door. And finally, the best thing that they do, maybe the best thing, there's so many good things. Every single purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the United States. And this is something I feel very strongly about. because Jesus Christ, being a woman is hard enough. If you're a woman who's down on your luck, oh my God, what a horrible state to be in. So good job, Lola. You covered all the bases. And right now, if you go to www.mylola.com and enter the promo code EFFINB, that's FNB, then you get 40% off. 40% off all subscriptions, which is a crazy deal. Like the best deal. 40% off? Do you ever hear those? It's always like 15, 20, whatever. These people are like 40% off if you subscribe to putting good things into your body. Maybe that should be your New Year's resolution. Just saying. Yeah. Go to mylola.com when you check out. Use the promo code EFFINB to get 40% off. And let me know how you like it. I got a little trial pack. I'm into it. I hope you are too. Now back to the show. We're back. Dude, 2019, they thought of everything. They've thought of everything. They finally have organic cotton tampons. My life is complete. But have they thought of everything? Here's my thing, and I hate when people do this. I know food writers and people have to do this every single new year. And I don't know what it's for. I don't know if they like win some award if they're right or something. But every year people want predictions on what's going to be trending in food. These are super funny to me. Like, how could you really know? Also, who really cares if you're right? You know, you could say something totally off the wall and it would be like, I guess you predicted wrong. Ooh, you must not know anything. But I do have some predictions, oddly enough. I'm going to spare you all of them because some of them are kind of obvious. Things like, yeah, people are going to get into sherry and cool. Everybody's going to like natural wine more than they already do because people think they like it, but it hasn't really fully hit its high craze like I expect it will. But my prediction, I have two, one for food and one for beverage. My food prediction is that people are going to get super fucking fancy with their sandos. I'm talking about a sandwich. Sandwiches are my favorite food. I think it's just my favorite way to eat anything. I think we've talked about this. But when I say fancy, I mean expensive. And I mean putting sort of luxury, weird ingredients into the humble sandwich is going to be something that we see a lot of in 2019. For obvious reasons, because thanks, it's a sandwich now. Before, it was steak tartare. Now, it's a fucking sandwich. Before, it was just a little slice of pate, perfectly crafted, spreadable and delicious, and I'm going to give you all the pieces, like some toast and pickles and mustard, but I want you to put it together. Whereas me, just make me a sandwich if you love me. Cut a fat, thick slab of pate, butter me some brioche, smash it in between there with some mustard and pickles, and just cut it in half so that I could share it or just eat it alone. I'll probably just eat it alone. Things like that. A steak tartare sandwich. You can actually find a steak tartare sandwich already. They're so ahead of the curve. You can find it at Bell's Alamos. Wait, Bell's Los Alamos. Sorry, guys. I always do that wrong. I always drop the Los. Just go straight to the Alamos. But they do an off-menu steak tartare sandwich, which is fucking brilliant. Again, why are you going to hand me all the things and then tell me to put it together when it's really just smash it together for me in a nice way? A sardine sandwich. Truffle sandwich. You already see the craze, which is the, you know, the katsu, like fried steak sandwich. Milk bread. The Japanese crush the fancy sandwich, but I think it's really going to hit all over, especially in the United States. The egg salad sandwich. It's basically a perfectly cooked omelet on a slice of milk bread. It'll change your life. I just saw Jason Stanhope did a caviar sandwich, which I don't think is his own invention, but I'm just saying, watch it. The trend's coming. Fancy as fuck sandwich. You know what people want to eat on a sandwich? Truffles. Nobody ever wants to do that. It's like, why? That should go into something fancy like handcrafted pasta, perfectly al dente. Just put it on a sandwich. People will love it. Look out for the fancy sandwich, guys. I'm telling you. You're going to see it. Many, many iterations all over the country. That's my food prediction. And then my booze prediction is quite simply that people are going to just start squirting CBD oil on anything. I think it's going to be in everything, and not just booze, but specifically booze. It's going in cocktails. I'm telling you, people are going to want CBD and or some squirt of collagen and everything they can eat and or drink. It's going to be the new wheatgrass. Remember that? Remember like in the early 2000s when people were like, can you add a shot of wheatgrass? And they didn't even know what they were saying. They were just like, sure, I always get an extra little shot of wheatgrass. Nobody knows why. What is it for? That's what's going to happen to CBD oil and collagen. They're like, sure, I'll pay $150 for collagen in my smoothie. Of course. I mean, I want to have skin, right? I don't want my skin to fall off because I can't put collagen in my smoothie. That's what's going to happen. And CBD oil, that's a simple one. That's like a no-brainer. It's like, my anxiety. Alcohol, that's just a depressant, okay? That's not going to solve my anxiety. That's going to make me depressed, but that doesn't cure your anxiety. Some would say they're actually linked. So people want CBD oil. Some might go straight for the THC. It's really just people wanting an excuse to just free use marijuana like they should be able to do, if you're asking me. There, I said it. I think people just want marijuana to be legal. And until then, they're like, CBD? Okay, I'll take it. I'm going to put it in alcohol. I'm going to mix it with alcohol. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to rub it on my lips. I'm going to rub it in my hair. Rub it on my eyes. Because it relaxes me. And I want to eat it. It's going to be in food, smoothies, and drinks near you. And those are my 2019 predictions. Fancy as fuck sandwiches. And just people just drinking to get high. Kinda. But not really. Does it really get you high? Everyone says it doesn't, but I've got an uncle that kind of uses a lot of it, and he seems pretty high. Maybe that's just his outlook on life. Pretty sure he's high. From the CBD oil, not from anything else. Okay. There you go. Those are the predictions. Now we can finally bring on the guests. They're so great. You're going to love it. Go see their show. I'm going to see you there. I would love to welcome two amazing artists. I've actually been working kind of not closely as I want to be to this project, but I was honored to be asked just even what I thought about it. I instantly loved it. It's opening on January 18th, and my two guests today are Rachel Nerney and Julia Deckman, two artists that are based here in Charleston, and they're amazing. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What's going on? It's so cool to have you here. I've been just really waiting. The time flew by from the time we started talking about this project. And I'm sure you guys have been talking about it since even before then.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy.
But for the listeners at home who haven't been like working on it this whole time, tell us a little bit about Two Top.
You want to start?
Okay.
Yeah, Rachel, you can do it. Rachel's been passed the buck. Here you go.
So we wanted to do a show together that kind of touched on the food and bev world in Charleston. And we wanted to highlight all of the amazing people that work in the industry. And then also really highlight the amazing food that's being put out, how innovative it is, the amazing ingredients we've got access to, and you know, use a lot of colors to in our paintings to do that.
And that was one of the things that, that really caught my eye immediately. You guys sent me some ideas and things you were kind of tossing around, and they actually brought the a few of the paintings with them that I haven't seen yet. So I'm so excited to unveil them. It's not going to help you guys at home because it's a visual. Sort of need eyes to see it, but you should definitely come to the show and check them out. But the colors are amazing. They're so vibrant. And I was curious, is that something that you guys both share in your work normally, or did you sort of collide on this and say, like, this is what we want to do?
I think we were a good match because we both already really love vibrant color, so it just made sense to do a show together, and we also happened to both be passionate and in love with the Charleston food and bev scene.
Yeah.
I can't speak for Rachel, but I think she would agree that we're really lucky where we are.
Okay.
And I find it a really special place for food and bev, and I just so appreciate the people behind it and the thought they put into it. And it's something I find truly inspiring to my work. So it was exciting to find someone else who is similarly inspired and be able to collaborate on a show together. We got to do research by eating and drinking in some places
kind.
Together. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a really fun several months.
And did you guys know each other before? Or
no.
Really?
Mm-mm.
So how did this come to be?
I work at the gallery that we're having the show at,
yeah.
Miller Gallery on East Bay Street. And we were talking about like what shows we could possibly have in the new year. And we really wanted to have a new artist to start the year off. And so we reached out to Julia, and then it kind of went from there.
Amazing. And so are all of the paintings, have they been done separately?
Yes.
You guys just kind of split them up. So we were highlighting different restaurants and maybe specifically dishes there, or... Mm-hmm. vibes from the restaurant, maybe an exterior mm-hmm. of the restaurant, depending on which one we're talking about.
Exactly. So Julia kind of focused on like the architectural elements of the restaurants and kind of like their vibes, and really did an awesome job making it feel like what the restaurant is like when you go inside or looking at it from the street. And I tried to focus on ingredients and then specific dishes as well.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see a collaboration like that as well, like with people that don't know each other. These are the things that fascinate me the most, that I think people should be doing more is
totally,
you know,
yeah.
You're both artists in this community. It's a small town, but it's also a very diverse town. And sometimes people can kind of keep their heads down and just
yeah.
do their own thing. But I love these, like, it's almost in restaurant world, it would be like a pop-up, you know,
yeah,
it's like a,
exactly.
it's like a duo pop-up where
yeah.
you'll have chefs collaborate and do this like really kind of one-off fun thing. And it seems like what you guys are doing, but paying homage to the food and beverage industry. So it's right up my alley.
Yeah. And hopefully lots of Charleston peeps.
Oh, yeah. Well, the city kind of revolves around food.
Yeah, totally. It's the lifeblood. So it feels really, I'm really honored to be able to be a part of it in this way. My husband is the beverage director at 167 Raw. My dad owned restaurants growing up. My uncle was a chef. So I grew up with it. And now
yeah.
with hindsight, I can see that, oh, this is a really special thing that I've been a part of my whole life. And that's
yeah.
helped lead my inspiration and reasons why I love it and appreciate it so much. So it's cool to honor it in this way. And I think we're also lucky that Charleston is a wonderful community. I think, I don't know that this type of thing would happen as easily and as fun
yeah.
anywhere else.
Totally.
So it's been great to work with Rachel and Sarah, the owner of the gallery, and it's just exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, I really can't wait. So how many pieces in total were created for this?
I think there's going to be at least 20 pieces total.
Wow.
I yeah. have 9. And how many do you have?
I think I have like 10.
Okay.
So
yeah, so around there.
Wow.
Around there. But they're all different sizes and like formats. Like some are like skinny and long, and some are, you know, larger. And then there's some like,
yeah,
I love your
little
the Harbinger. I can't even say
yeah,
that
Harbinger.
I always say it wrong too.
Yeah.
And I love that place so much.
It's so cute.
It's like
it.
A dream.
Thanks. Yeah. I was excited about doing... I'm really lucky. My studio is at Redux, so it's right down the road from there. And then I also work part time at Artisan Craftsman, which is also right down. So I'm literally there like every day. Yeah. So it's nice that I to have them in it.
Are you going to paint one for yourself too?
Probably so. I think so. I had so much fun with them. And now that I'm done with the pieces, I set a goal for myself to have them done by like Christmas time. So now I want to kind of like revisit a couple without the stress of like the timeline and all that.
And what was the timeline in total? Because that seems like a lot of work that you guys got done.
That's a great question.
It was really fast. I think we got serious about it in November. We like met.
Yeah.
How we decided where to tackle is we met with each other. We kind of threw back and forth our favorite places and made a list and, some place we both have done. Like did you do Salbo?
I did Quifi.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have like overlapping places and then we have someone that we both were like, I really love this place. Yeah, I have to paint this.
And also sometimes like, and Quifi, I don't know how to say that.
Quifi.
Quifi. Yeah. Okay.
That's okay. They know. I'm always like Queefy.
Yeah. What? I live across the street from there. So I'm really glad that Rachel tackled that because I'm really pumped about them being in the neighborhood. And so, yeah, it's been fun to collaborate and then also do our own little things. And
I feel like the project could just like not end. Like I could stay on this topic for a really long time.
I know. That's the hard part was like, how do you even whittle it down to like,
it's been hard.
Yeah. There's so many different places that I love for different reasons. And I'm like, I wouldn't consider this like a culinary destination, but it's such a special like Charleston place. And I get a specific thing from this place, you know?
Exactly.
So how do you kind of portray that to someone that's coming in? And I think when you and I, we all started talking about this, I was really taken by the fact that you wanted to represent Charleston in a way that maybe wasn't so media driven or tourism, because there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it's something that I feel very strongly about as well, where people come in and they kind of will throw a restaurant at me and be like, well, we have to go to such and such. And I have to like really struggle to be like,
how you respond to,
because you don't want to, I mean, it's a tight knit community.
Exactly.
I respect everything that everyone's doing.
Yes. Yes.
And I think there's a place for every type of place. But if you're talking about an insider's info, like if you know,
something
you
don't want to miss.
Yeah. These are the don't misses. And so I feel like I'm hoping that's what this is.
The underlying vibe is like the locals' favorites and industry favorites as well. I think a lot of Dylan and his friends enjoy a lot of the places that we've featured, and they're all in the industry. Sure. And so it's cool I've worked in Food and Bev long, long time ago and never in Charleston back where I'm from. So it's cool to like try and get it on the in.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. And then did you ever work in Food and Beverage, Rachel?
I worked in Food and Bev for a whole year at the Melting Pot.
Oh, really?
And I did the fondue at the table. Aww. And I like tried to open a bottle of wine, bled on the bottle. Like I was great. Therefore, it was a year.
He was like, that's a long time be that good.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. But you're Breezy, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody here knows that name because that's not his real name. But we worked together at Fig. He's incredible, incredible. One of the best fish cooks I've ever seen.
He
super
kills
talented.
It on the cast iron.
Oh my God. Yeah. The basting, that technique.
Oh, that butter. Like.
Yeah. When I try to do that, I just have like burns everywhere. It's not, I don't have the flick of the wrist quite right, but he is super talented. And I love that he's also pivoted and kind of taken a new direction. It's always refreshing to me when people in the industry find new interests. He's in wine distribution now and beverage distribution. So he's like a whole new side.
He's really enjoying the wine side of it. And it's been awesome for me because I've never appreciated the beverage part of Food and Bev. Like, so if you go into the restaurant, it's like, I'll have like a Yangling or like whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, do you have like a Lambrusco? And I appreciate that's on the menu.
I can say that word and I know
and
what
I can
mean.
Say it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so huge because especially for people in the back of the house, I feel like that's a huge, and vice versa. Front of house, they get a lot of they miss, the flick of the wrist techniques, and the back of the house misses the wine knowledge or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he has sort of a total picture and you've gotten to obviously have a big in on that as well.
Totally.
I'm super excited about the show and I want to know a little bit about like each from you, what the process is and how you decide what to portray specifically beyond, like you said, you like the dishes more, mm-hmm. and you're more of the exterior, interior. But what is that process like when you go into the restaurant and decide, like, okay, I'm going to feature Sao Bao? Like, which angle do you take and how do you decide? And how did that speak to you?
Perspective is something I'm really inspired by, and interesting, unique, different perspectives. So I tend to choose places that have like really cool little architectural details because I'm able mm-hmm. to capture a pretty different, intimate view of it. I did a series of hospitality stuff several years ago when I first started my career, and I did it like straight on, straightforward, but I really wanted to take a more intimate approach, and I think lines and angles really help with that. Mm. So I was really mindful about that when I went, and I tried to take as many of my own reference pictures as I could. I went, I think I freaked everybody out at Zaba. Like, I just want to take pictures. You don't need to, I know you're not open yet, but let me just take some pictures. Cause I don't like to do people. I only like to do like the atmosphere. And so it was kind of nice to be there when it was closed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I just paid attention to those, to the lines and interesting, unique lines. I work with oils. Oils take a little bit longer and involve more layers just because you have, it just requires that. So it was definitely challenging in terms of time management because I wanted to tackle so much. But I also didn't, I wanted to do every place justice and not, just like rush through it.
Sure.
So I did a little bit of paring down. I had much grander ideas and, but then I chose the references that I found most unique, most inspiring, and that I knew I could execute the way I wanted to execute by my deadline.
Amazing.
So I'm really happy. These are my favorite pieces I've ever done. So I'm really excited. Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm really
incredible.
Excited.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's saying a lot because you're really, really, I love your work.
Oh,
I
thank follow you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I follow your work and all the things that you do. And I'm always really
this
impressed.
This is such a fun project too for me because I started to pursue my professional art career in 2012 and I started it with some florals, but then I focused on those hospitality pieces. So it's fun to kind of tackle that again and be at a completely different point in my career and just kind of take stock of what I'm excited about, what I'm thankful for, and what I want to now get on to the next and achieve next. So
I love it.
Yeah.
And Rachel, with the dishes, do you also work in oil or?
I work in, like, it's kind of like a mix of watercolor and acrylic. So the paint type is called gouache, and it's, like, the weirdest spelling ever.
Yes, it is.
Whoa. How do you know, can you spell it for me?
G-O-U-A-C-H-E.
Gouache. Yeah.
But, like, if you're English, they say gouache.
Gouache.
They say it weird. I don't know.
Gouache.
But I really like it because I can, like, I have a lot of control over the paint, and it dries really fast. I work really quickly. And I really like to think about like shadows and like high contrast mm-hmm. and like looking at something like up close and how that can become a composition. So like one of my paintings is like a piece of pizza, but like really up close obnoxiously and then like over like granite. And so it's more about textures and detail.
Amazing.
And so that when you come up away from it, then you're like, oh, okay. Wow. That's what that is.
Wow. Yes, gouache. I'm going to say it the British way.
It's more fun.
Gouache. Is that something that you mix on your own, or how do you come to use this medium?
Let's see. I had to use it in color theory in art school, and I hated it then because I thought it was like really dry and tacky and kind of bounced around with watercolor and digital painting. And then I kind of circled back and was like, okay, I really didn't want to work quicker. I hated how like regular acrylic paint is like really thick. And I always felt like I couldn't get the details that I wanted.
Yeah. So I could see that. So it's like it's not like using watercolor and then using acrylic.
It's just one little baby tube.
It's all mixed together.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And it's got that kind of bright, vibrant, like acrylic look to it because
But I guess, the part that I didn't mention was that it dries matte. So acrylic usually dries shiny. And so it almost has more of like a retro feel to it, which I like.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can show you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
You know what? We should unveil the paintings. Okay. Why, yeah. All right. Yeah. Listeners at home, we're going to get the paintings. I've never seen them before. In fact, Rachel was just saying when she pulled up that she hasn't shown them to anyone else. So they're, oh my God. They're getting them out of the, you guys. Whoa. Oh my God. I see exactly what you mean. It drives Matt. This is, you guys have to go to the show so that you can see this for yourself. Incredible. Oh my God. Wow.
So this is one of Caitlin's dishes at Fig. It's the peach melba dessert.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. I guess some people saw it on Instagram and they went in being like, I really want the peach melba. Like, I saw the painting. And she was like, it is not in season. Like,
wow. You're like, so you're like selling desserts for her out
right.
of season. That's incredible. Yeah, it really is. This is the one that I saw in the Facebook post.
Okay.
Which really, it's so striking. The colors are really incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
But that's, you know, I love what you said about composition because I'm sure that's, when a chef is composing a dish, they're thinking in the same way that maybe an artist would when they're framing an image.
Totally.
And
I want to interject that one of our best friends, Mike, he's the head chef at Raw. He is the one of my go-to people when I'm like stuck on a piece and I have him look at it and like he's just...
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and I find that, I believe that he's an amazing artist, so it's fun to...
Well, they do. They have
so
they have an eye. They think exactly like an artist because they are artists. They just, instead of working in gouache, they work in ganache or whatever it might be. It's it's amazing to watch them where I'm like, I could have all those ingredients and like put them on a plate. It would never look like that. And the same that I think this beautiful paint is, oh my God, so cool.
I feel like you just like wrote my artist statement a little bit.
Really?
I'm going to like take notes for later.
Awesome.
Okay, Julia, I want to see.
Can you guess where it is?
Wait, yes, I can.
Julia, I know I use crazy colors.
No, it's the Belmont.
Yep.
Of course it's the Belmont. Oh my God.
And I was just there last night. I'm a little hungover.
That's always how I am.
I was celebrating being totally done with all these pieces.
Oh my God. This is so beautiful.
Thank you. I'm really happy with that one.
Yeah.
Thanks. I can't wait to see yours in frames too.
Oh my God.
Thanks.
And yeah, how did you do the frame?
We got our frames from a wholesale framer, Palmetto.
Around here.
Yeah,
actually.
Palmetto Framing. I was really nervous. I've never framed before. Thought it was going to be so expensive and so intimidating and end up being okay.
Wow.
And then I'm really lucky to have my studio at Redux and I'm surrounded by tons of other artists and I didn't go to art school. So there's so many things that I don't know. And framing is one of them. So, Karen has a studio space there. She's another amazing, amazing artist. She's, has work in Robert Lang Studios and teaches and she's great. So she helped me put all my frames together. So
awesome.
Otherwise I would have died.
You know what I love about these two is that it's obviously like you can see where it is and it's, you would be like, yeah, of course that's the Belmont. But it also isn't like every time that you've ever seen a picture of the Belmont
right.
or
that's,
something that you've been, you know,
so glad you
a stock
that.
Photo
Thanks.
That you might find.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, you have to like take some time and get a real eye on it. The detail's incredible.
Thank
the
you.
The colors are so, so beautiful. And wait, well, let's show me some more. It must be.
So this one's a little funky. It like.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
Oh
it's
my
gonna
God.
It's going to look cool frame too.
Wow. It's on two pieces. It's, oh my God, you guys, this is so cool.
Is that raw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really wanted to do a painting of oysters that wasn't like what you see in the little boutique shops and stuff on the market.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and was like the first thing it. I had in my head. So
yeah.
I.
They're so cool. She knew.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at these. I mean, this show is going to be, I would say, like, if you're a food enthusiast in the city or outside of the city even. I know people who are obsessed with all of these places that don't even live here.
Yeah.
That's going to, are there going to be available for purchase even if you don't come to the show?
Of course, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
How would they find them if they wanted to see them after the show?
So there'll be an exhibit page on Miller Gallery's website.
Okay.
And perfect. Then you can just call the gallery if they're interested in anything, or just shoot an email over.
Yeah, because I just had an old mentor of mine actually that came into town from New York, and they went to Shenu, and he was like, they were so obsessed. They went back the next day for lunch. Like,
oh, wow.
They were so taken by that restaurant.
It's special.
It captures so beautifully.
And then this is the little harbinger.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is the best. The mirror. You guys, these are amazing. Yeah, they're contemporary. They have a very, like, classic vibe to them, though. Both the artistry is so well done that it looks kind of timeless. Bravo to you. Yeah, this is really amazing.
Thanks for letting us share.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I feel so lucky to get to see them before anybody else. I think it's going to speak to art lovers and people who love food alike, which they tend to be one and the same. I mean, yeah. I feel like if you're here and you're aware of the scene at all, they cross over so much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so just details for the people at home. Miller Gallery is, what's the address on East Bay?
It's 149 and a half East Bay Street. It's like almost a door down from Monero.
Perfect. And then you said there was going to be a hospitality preview on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So January 15th, mm-hmm. you can catch the hospitality preview. Is that for anybody in hospitality?
Anyone at all, but we mm-hmm. wanted to have it on a day that would be easier for industry people to attend.
And so keen.
4 to 6 yeah, on Tuesday.
That's really smart, because this is the hardest thing. Everybody's always like, I want to do something for industry people. And you're like, they
not
don't ever.
Yeah.
Don't do it when anyone else can go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's very kind of you. That's probably the one that I'll be showing
awesome.
Up to.
That's perfect.
Tuesday, and that's from 4 to 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the actual big show is going to be on Friday, January 18th, from 6 to 9. Did
eight,
I say this wrong?
Think. 6 to 8.
6 to 8.
Yeah.
But right. 9 if you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 if you want to party. If you want to shut it down, you can come and party.
Yeah.
And all of the works will be for sale. You should check these artists out individually. Where can they find you and your work that you normally do?
Both are just my name, rachelnerney.com, and then at rachelnerney on Instagram.
Perfect. And Nerney is N-E-R-N-E-Y.
Yes.
Yes. So you can find her. And then Julia Deckman.
Yes. My website is byjdeckman.com and my Instagram is @byjdeckman.
Yeah. And you should really follow both of them, because they're doing incredible stuff here in a city that's
going on.
There's so much going on. And I think you guys are the exact kind of people that people need to be paying attention to.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's so kind.
Yes.
No, it's really, I was honored to even know about this. I'm honored to get to see them in advance of the rest of the world. Ha ha. And I will be at the show for sure on the Tuesday night.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. You guys, thanks so much for being
on. Thanks for having us. Thank you, Lindsay.
Dude, it was my pleasure. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening, guys. I'm going to see you next week. In the meantime, if you're a person that has a period, see, that's not even just for women. If you're a woman that has a period, some women don't. Lucky. Must be nice. But if you do, go to mylola.com. Do it. Check out their options. It's seriously worth it. It's seriously something to consider. You're putting it in your body, after all. Or even on your body. Maybe you don't put it in there. I don't know how you period. That's up to you. It's your personal choice. But if you go to mylola.com and you use your personal choice to make your personal box, use the subscription code EFFINB. It helps me keep these shows free. To thee. It's a rhyme, basically a rapper. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, 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 bye. Thank you.
Dans un petit hôtel, ça.